this evening, and glad Brad's feeling better. I know he was probably just didn't want to hear me this morning. He says, "Oh, but I better go. Better make a show tonight." So, if you have your Bibles now, we're gonna turn to Psalm 95, and Psalm 95, and we'll just start in verse 1 there. It's not a very long psalm, and kind of interesting. It kind of, as many of the psalms do, they'll somewhere along the way they kind of change tone, and it switches to a little different tone. But in Psalm 95, verse 1, it says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills also is His. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." I mean, there's a lot of reason to worship God and sing praises to God in those first verses. There's a lot of invitation to come and worship God in these beginning verses here. Verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Very good reason to come and bow before God. Verse 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand." Now we've kind of come to this point where we've really been invited heartily to worship God and given good reason that we ought to worship Him. And then he gets to this part here, and it's the tone gets maybe a little more to the point, or blunt, if you will. But it says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest." And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer once again. Father, we thank you once again this evening for you. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is pleased to reveal yourself to a people. And Father, you have called us out of darkness and drawn us into a wonderful life with you through your Son. And Father, we pray this evening for one that might be lost here this evening, that you would call them out of that darkness, that they'd be able to see and understand and know what it is to be saved, to have a life, and to have it more abundantly in Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would bless us as we meet together. We know that all blessings and all good things come from above, and we know that we have no power to muster up worship, to muster up anything good in ourselves. But Father, we know that you can engage us, and Father, you can cause us to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we come to you confessing our need of your engagement in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, that you would captivate our minds, you would captivate our attention, that we would focus on you, and that you would bless us from your word. I pray that you would help me, and in spite of all of my weaknesses and shortcomings, that you would be pleased to take your word and bless your people by it. And Father, we thank you for these things, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the standout question of that, we're going to focus on these that verse 7 through 11. But in verse 7, he says in that last part of that verse, he says, "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart," it goes on to say there. But And so it begs the question, will you hear God today? Will you hear God today? And so we're going to think about that a little bit. Today, if you will hear his voice. Yesterday you say, "I believed God, I obeyed God, I served God." That's very good. But will you hear God today? Yesterday you might say, "I did not believe God, I disobeyed God, I did not serve God." And of course that's very bad, but will you hear God today? One of the most amazing and wonderful things about our God is that no matter what happened yesterday, He gives us a daily opportunity to hear, to believe, to obey, to serve Him today. Today. Will you hear God today? And so the first thought then, number one, is don't use yesterday as an excuse. Too many people are living in the past. Too many people are using yesterday as some sort of an excuse not to hear God today. Maybe you served God yesterday. That's great, but what about today? Maybe you served God at some point in your life, you know, and you're thinking about the good old days, so to speak. Well, what are you going to do today? Are you going to serve God today? Are you going to hear God today? You know, we need to be serving Him today. And, you know, and there are others that use the excuse of, you know, oh, I failed too miserably yesterday to serve Him today. You know what? Repent of those sins, get back on track, and serve the Lord. You know, we can serve Him today. But we want to think about that a little bit. Don't use yesterday as an excuse. And, you know, before we get too far, I want to go to Ezra 10. These are kind of some. There's two sort of messages that were going around in my mind, but we're not going to preach from the one. But I do want to go there and just pause and think about Ezra chapter 3 just for a minute. Think about that and with this idea of don't use yesterday as an excuse. And Ezra chapter 3 and verses 10 through 13 there, it says, you know, this is the post-captivity Jews. They're coming back after the captivity, and they're coming back and they're beginning to rebuild the temple. And in verse 10 it says, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets and Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." And, you know, thinking about those particular verses and the idea of don't use yesterday as an excuse, you know, there are times in your life that the Lord may have really blessed, and He may have really been working. He may have, you know, really been doing some things, you know, in your church or wherever at, and, you know, and you think, well, today's just not as good as yesterday. Oh, man, don't use that as an excuse. They're in Ezra's day. They were building the house of the Lord again, and they were doing it by the command of God. And that house was no less the work of the Lord than that original one that was destroyed, because they were building it by the command of God. But don't use yesterday. And those that should have been encouraging this new generation of Israel that was coming and building, those that had never seen that first house, they were rejoicing at the work of the Lord. But here was these ones, and they were thinking they were living so much in the past that they could not enjoy the blessings of today. They could not, participate fully in the rejoicing of the work of the day because they're too busy living in the past and thinking about the way it used to be, instead of rejoicing in the work of the Lord today. And so, in the idea of that, don't use yesterday as an excuse not to serve the Lord today. You know, the Lord may have been doing something then. That's great and wonderful, but if it's the work of the Lord today, you need to take the blessings that He has for you today. You need to engage in the work that He has for you today. You need to be careful not to use yesterday as some sort of a excuse not to enjoy and receive the blessings of today. And so, don't use yesterday as an excuse. Again, too many people are using that yesterday as an excuse not to hear God today. Somehow counting on yesterday's obedience, you know. Yesterday's obedience doesn't count for today. You need to serve God and obey God today. You need to hear God today. And don't try to live off yesterday's manna, so to speak. God provided, bread for you yesterday. He provided blessings for you yesterday. And He provided everything you needed yesterday. But you know what? Today there's new blessings. Today there's new manna. Today there's new opportunities to serve the Lord. Don't use yesterday as an excuse and then somehow miss the blessings that He has for you today. We need to be careful about not using yesterday as an excuse. You know, you've all probably heard that. This one, you know, I used to go to church, but then this happened, and so I don't go anymore. You've heard people like that. You go talk to people, and you talk to them about, you invite them to church, and say, well, you know, I used to go to church, but then this happened, and all these things went on, and so now I don't go anymore. You know, and it's just a sad excuse to make them feel better that they're not in church, that they're not obeying the Lord today. So what? So you're going to let that happened then ruin the blessings that God has for you today, and you're going to forsake the blessings that you could be enjoying today because of what happened yesterday? We need to examine our hearts and get down to business. And what it really is, you know, I'm just using this as an excuse. I don't really want to serve the Lord today. And so this is my way of feeling better. And that's what a lot of people do. But don't use yesterday as your excuse. Our verse there in the Psalm, it says, if ye will hear. Today, if ye will hear his voice, you will be blessed today. If you'll hear today, you'll be blessed today. There are blessings for you today. And there are certain blessings that you can participate in and have today, but tomorrow they'll be gone. And so you need to take the blessings that God has for you today. If communicates our responsibility to hear and obey God. So again, it begs the question, will you hear God today? If you will hear his voice. And so will you hear his voice? Will you hear the conviction of God today? The still small voice of God in your heart. Will you hear that today? And will you apply it today? Hearing isn't just about saying amen when we're in church. Hearing is about it actually coming in and taking effect in our lives and making a difference in our lives. That's where we need to ask ourselves, when's the last time the message that we heard in Sunday worked in my life and changed my life, and I went from there and made a difference in my life? You know, how many times do we hear a message and it sounds real good to us and we say amen, but it really, by the time, next time it comes around, it's kind of faded. And we haven't really even, it didn't apply. We didn't add it to our lives. It didn't make the difference in our lives. How many times do we hear a message and we just don't actually hear it? We don't actually enter into the blessings of the things that were presented to us that we could enter into if we took the word that we heard and applied it to our lives. That's what we need to do. That's why that's the practical application of coming to church and hearing the preached word, is that we hear it. It rejoices us, it encourages us, but it causes and makes a difference in our lives. We go out and we actually apply it. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's what we all have to ask ourselves. We all do that, So at some point, it seems like for most, Christian people, for most church people, that we do this. You're saved and you kind of go, shoom. You grow like crazy, shoom. And then you kind of get to this place where you kind of go, bah, and you're just kind of hanging around. And then you hear message after message after message after message after message, and you just blah, because you get to this place where you're pretty happy with. You get to this place where you feel like, okay, and you're not changing anymore. You're not growing anymore. You just kind of become stagnant. And the Word of God isn't really going in. You need to say, well, I heard yesterday. I remember when I was growing and all these things were happening in my life, and we live in yesterday. What about today? What about today? Today, you need to hear God's voice. Today, you need to grow. Today, you need to, get rid of some things out of your life. Today, you need to hear God. When's the last time, the Word of God affected you in such a way that it changed you and made a difference in your life? Today. Today. I know yesterday. I know what happened yesterday. But what about today? We need to ask ourselves that question. Will we hear God today? So don't use yesterday as an excuse, and don't use people as an excuse. Yesterday, we like to use yesterday, and people. We like to use people, don't we? With, and so-and-so here, and so-and-so this. Don't use people as an excuse. You're going to have to answer to God for yourself, and they're going to have to answer to God for themselves. Don't use people as an excuse not to hear God today. You need to hear God today. There are blessings for you today if you'll hear God, and don't use people as an excuse. Says there in our verse, harden not your in Psalm 95 there, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Well, what happened in the day of temptation in the wilderness? Well, that was the day that the first generation of Israel comes to the border of the promised land. They send the spies in. 10 spies come back and give an evil report, didn't they? And the people says, no, we just can't do it. We can't go in. They listened to that evil report. They listened to what those unbelievers had to say, and they used that as their excuse not to obey God, not to listen, not to enter into the blessings that God had for them that day. And so they used people for an excuse. Numbers chapter 13. Let's go read that there. Numbers 13 and verse 31. It says, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight.' And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?'" But you know, all along, whenever something difficult came up, they were always crying that, "Oh, the Lord's brought us out here to die. Let's go back." You know, and so here comes these, and they give an evil report, and they use that for their excuse. "We're not going to listen. We're going to go back." You know, and why has God brought us here to do this? But you see that they use people as an excuse. And you know, another way that we could apply that is you know, there was a bad influence of unbelievers in their lives. And we need to be careful about the bad influence of unbelievers in our lives. We need to be careful about the bad influence of even church members that aren't serving the Lord like they ought to be, and that have a tendency to want to speak an evil thing concerning the Lord or the will of God or the preaching of God's word. And they say, "Well, I know what they said there, but let's just be practical. Let's be real about this. That's really probably not going to happen. And you know, we really can't take that land. We really can't overcome those things. We really can't do that." We need to be careful about that sort of an influence in our lives, and that don't use their evil testimony as an excuse for you not to hear the Lord. Just because they don't want to hear the Lord, you need to be careful that doesn't influence you. You need to say, "You know what? I'm going to listen to what God says. And I'm going to go do what he calls us to do." But 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 there. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, again, we need to remember that the book of 1 Corinthians is written to believers, is written to a church, and they had all kinds of difficulties and problems going on. But he was writing to them saying, "You need to don't be deceived, don't be fooled, don't think you're so wise that you're not going to be taken in. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Ungodly communications and communications that are against the preaching of the Word of God or against the teaching of the church and against those things and against the things of God and the Word of God. There's a lot of that kind of influence in the world. And we need to be careful, about those that influence us in that way. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It will have an effect in your life if you're not careful. You need to be careful about allowing those sorts of communications to have a hearing. You know, they shouldn't even have a hearing in our ears, in our heart. You know, somebody starts talking like that, and we just say, "You know what? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. That's not going to do me any good. It's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do anybody any good to talk like that. You need to hold to the Word of God and listen to the Word of God and follow the Word of God, or you need to just keep your mouth quiet. I mean, really, that's true." Because there are those that have a bad influence on those that seems like every time they open their mouth, that there's something that's some little thing there that doesn't communicate good things. But evil communications corrupt good manners. But don't use that sort for your excuse. There might be those around you that are like that. There might be those that are always tending to influence you in the wrong way. There might be those like these 10 spies that came back and says, "We can't do it." Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them even if they're the majority. You know, they were the majority that said, "We can't do it." You know what? If the Word of God says we can do it, then we can do it. And so you need to listen to the Word of God, and you need to listen to those who are trusting in the Word of God. But Don't use people as an excuse, and don't hear them. Those that are against the things of God. But one of the devil's favorite methods of getting people to disobey God is by the evil communications of unbelieving people, usually a close family member or friend. The closer they are to your heart, the better the devil likes it. You know, you need to realize that. You know, your family, your lost family can tug on your heart and get to you in ways that most of the world can't get to you. The devil knows that. He knows that, you know, that you have, you know, lost children or lost family members or, you know, or whoever it is in your life. He knows how to take them and tug on your heart and get you to make compromises in your life and not serve the Lord like you should. Don't be influenced by that. You need to stand strong in the Word of God and don't use people as your excuse. You know, somebody, family comes into town and well, we got to miss Sunday night because family's in town. No, you don't. Put the Lord first. And continue in your testimony of what's right, you know. But there are all sorts of ways that people compromise in their lives and because of family. But you know, you consider Adam and Eve. You know, the devil used Eve, the closest one to him, and he hasn't left off that tactic. He loves to use family members, and the closer they are, the better he likes it. And so don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, but don't use that as your excuse. Be honest with yourself enough to say, you know what, if I haven't listened to the Lord and I've disobeyed the Lord, then that's me, and I'm going to answer to God for that. And don't use them for your excuse. You need to hear God, and you need to serve God for yourself. But don't let the people steer you the wrong way. But we see that certainly Israel should have listened to God. They had hardened their hearts, and they did not listen to God. Let's go back there to Exodus for a minute. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus 6 and verses 1 through 18 there. It says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob." Notice, he is reaffirming this covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them the land. And he's telling them that, he's telling Moses that, and he's telling them, I'm going to give that to their children. He says, "I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." They should have believed God. I mean, from the time he brought them out of Egypt, he said, "I'm going to bring you out from here, and I'm going to take you into this land. I'm going to take you into the inheritance that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm taking you to that land." And they should have believed God and remembered what God said. We could turn to Numbers in chapter 13, 1 and 2, and he told them the same thing. He told them when he brought them out of Egypt, and he told them right before he brought them in again. He says, "I'm taking you, and I'm going to give you the land. You just go in and take it." But they did not listen to God. And that is the most important thing every one of us need to do. We need to listen to God. We need to be careful about listening to the wrong influences in our lives and the things that have a tendency to, you know, to tug at our hearts and pull us astray. Don't listen to that. You need to listen to God. Listen to what God has to say and believe Him. Believe Him. Because He's the one that's going to bring you into the blessings that He has for you. Not only that, but they should have listened to the testimony of those that believed God. Numbers 14. Numbers 14 and and verse 6. It It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Oh, but they should have listened to the testimony of those that believed God. The majority of those that went in said, "We can't take it. There's too much opposition. There's too much difficulty. There's no way that we can actually take this." And they gave that evil report, and they listened to those rather than listening to the ones that said, "You know what? We can take it. God said we can take it. We need to just go in and do what he says." And, many times that's the way it's going to be in everything, everything that lines up with the Bible. There's probably going to be a majority of people that are kind of naysayers. It's like, "No, we can't do that. We can't really do that." But then there's going to be some that say, "The Word of God says we can. The Word of God says we can't. We need to go do what the Word of God says we ought to do." And we need to listen to that voice. We need to listen to those that are testifying in accordance with the Word of God. Whether they be the smallest minority, if they're saying this is what God's Word says, then those are the ones we need to listen to. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow those that are, that are the naysayers, so to speak, to say, "You know what, we need to be real, we need to be practical. You know, we that's kind of old fashioned stuff. You know, we need to just kind of do this." You need to listen to those that are saying, "This is what God's Word says. His Word hasn't changed. His promises haven't changed. He's been telling us this since he brought us out of Egypt and all the way to this, where he's brought us to the edge of this land." We need to listen to God and go in. Remember all the things that God has done for us and all the things that he's done up till now. We need to go in and just believe God and do what he says. But they should have listened. But instead, they used some other people as their excuse not to go in to the land. And so that brings us into the third point. Don't miss today's opportunity to enter God's blessing and rest. Verses 9 through 11 there in Psalm 95. It says, "When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work." You know, that's something you don't want to do. You don't want to tempt God and you don't want to prove him. You don't want to find out some of the what the Bible speaks of chastening and on all those promises that he's going to bring you back to where you need to be. Don't prove God. You don't want to find that out. But when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." But don't miss today's opportunity to enter God's blessings and rest. Though God is very merciful, and even after we have failed, we may repent and serve him today. I mean, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. If you'll repent of your sins and you'll turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can enter into the blessings of today. But there are things in your life, and there are certain blessings that only come around, on a certain occasion in your life that if you don't hear the Lord that day, you're not going to be able to come back to that particular thing, that he might have had for you. But you think about that in consideration of Israel, that first generation. Today they could have went in, but you know what? When tomorrow came, it was done. It was shut. It was over. Just like when Noah was preparing the ark. There was an opportunity to enter in, but when the door was shut, that day was gone. There are opportunities that you have today that you may enter into, but after the door is shut, after that day is gone, you may not get that opportunity again. And we need to realize that. There are so many things like that in life. What about that person that the Lord convicts you of, that you ought to talk to, and you ought to witness to, and the next thing you know, something happens in there, and they die. They die, and you never told them about Jesus. You never took that opportunity. You never listened to the still small voice that was prodding you and reminding you. What about so and so? You need to go visit so and so. You need to talk to so and so. Next thing you know, they're gone. They're gone. And so you can't get that opportunity back. You can never get that back. There are things like that in our lives that we need to hear the Lord today. And when he says go, we need to go. And we need to take that opportunity because we might not get that opportunity again tomorrow. But there are those certain opportunities and those blessings that we may enter today, but not tomorrow. Through unbelief and sinful disobedience, the first generation that came out of Egypt lost their opportunity to enter the promised land of God. So realize, there are times in our lives that God makes an opportunity to enter into some great blessing. But if we do not enter today, we might never get the opportunity to enter that particular blessing again. Numbers 14. Now, I want to be certain that nobody's confused. That doesn't mean you can't repent of your sins, get right with the Lord, get back serving the Lord today and the blessings of the day. It just means that yesterday's gone and you can't get it back. And so you'll never be able to relive yesterday if you didn't serve Him yesterday. So that's why it's important to serve Him in the present. And that's the point we're trying to make. Doesn't mean you can't get right with the Lord and start serving Him now. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when yesterday's gone, when today is gone, you can't ever get it back, and you can't relive it. You can't do it over again. You know, all you can have is regrets for the things that you didn't do, and you might learn and profit from that and move forward, but you can't get it back. So we need to take the opportunities that we get today. You know, every day there's an opportunity to serve the Lord, and we need to take those opportunities and serve the Lord in those opportunities He gives. But Numbers 14, we'll go back there just for a minute. And you'll notice that when they didn't go in, they cried all night, didn't they? So that day's gone now, and this is the next day in Numbers 14. In verse 40. It says, and they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the mountain. So tomorrow they think, you know what? We blew it yesterday. The Lord says we're in big trouble. We better just go in today. But it was gone. The opportunity was gone. Yesterday was gone. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. But you see, their blessing of today, they had walked away from it. And tomorrow they couldn't enter in. And so there are things in our life that are like that. There are opportunities that you might never get again. And we need to hear God today. We need to hear God today. That's why our verse says, today, if you will hear God. We can't be resting somehow on our past obediences. Don't we do that a lot? We think, well, I did pretty good last week. And how long do we tend to live off of that? You know, what about today? You know, maybe you witnessed to somebody last week and the Lord really blessed in that. And, you know, and maybe you'll live off of that for a month or 2 months or however long, you know. And you think, well, I did this then. Well, what about today? What about today? What about all the people that you didn't witness to today, and you're pretty happy with yourself because you witnessed last week, you know? And we do things like that. Somehow we have this little tally book in our minds, and we're tallying. Okay, well, you know, I've served the Lord so much, so I feel like I'm in good shape. What about today? You know, today. Today we need to serve the Lord, and we need to be doing that every day. Every day we get up, we need to say, well, this is a new day. Yesterday's gone. And today's the opportunity that I had to serve the Lord. Today, when I get up and I go about my business of the day, I know there are people in my life that need to know the Lord. There are people in my life that I need to witness to. There, you know, my children, I need to spend some time with my children in Bible devotion and in prayer and teaching them the things of God. I need to spend some time with my coworker. I need to pray for this one that the Lord's put on my heart. I need to witness to this one here. You know, I need to go here and visit this one that, you know, that the Lord's been putting on my heart that I should go talk to and see and spend some time with. I need to do this, you know, as a testimony for the Lord. Every day, full of those kind of opportunities and blessings. That might not come back. We may not get them tomorrow. Take the opportunities, you know. I'm reminded even on the way down. Aren't there those people in your life that you want to witness to? It seems like they're on your heart, but it's like for some reason there's like this hindrance, you know, in the flesh in some way. There's maybe they're it's somebody that you work with that's like, you know, somebody that's like a boss or somebody that you're kind of like, you have sort of a, you know, you look at them as an authority figure. Sometimes those are sort of hard to witness to sometimes. But, there's a man when I used to work road construction. I liked him. He's a rough fella, you know. He was just hard as nails. And some folks, you know, if he liked you, you was in good shape. But if you was on the wrong side of him, oh, he would chew you up one side and down the other, and just a rough character, you know. And working road construction, it's hard for me to communicate how you know, it's kind of a rough environment. But I really respected him, and he had a lot of wisdom of how to do things, and I quite honestly liked that kind of a boss that would tell you what to do, and you go do that thing, and he was happy with you. He wasn't the sort that, you could kind of get on his good side and kind of smooth him over and get away with things, you know. If you went and did a good job, he was a good boss. But hard sort of fell, and everybody knew that. And, I got a text on the way down that from my dad that he passed away yesterday. And I always thought, I need to go see him. I never did go see him. I never went to see him. I never went to talk to him outside of that work environment, and I'll never get the opportunity to do that. You know, I'll never be able to go back and witness to that one, and that's going to be something. You know, it's because it was on my heart. I know that one day I'll have to ask the Lord, and He'll say, "Well, why didn't you go talk to him?" You know, well, you know, maybe I, you know, for whatever reason, I don't. We'll have no excuses in that day, but I'm certain that you have things like that in your life. There's the Lord's got somebody that He laid on your heart. And he's been, and he or she's been there a while, and it doesn't go away, and it comes back every now and then. I should go talk to this one. I should go see this one. I need to go do this. Go do it. Go do it. Because you're going to get that phone call one day and say, you know what? They passed away. And you're going to say, oh, I never did go get an opportunity. I never made the opportunity. I had the opportunities. I could have made an opportunity. We all got all kinds of busyness in our lives, don't we? But we could make the opportunity if we really wanted to, couldn't we? We could get over there. We could go see him. We could talk to him. But we need to do that because there's going to be a time when we won't have the opportunity anymore. So take those opportunities that God gives every single day. Today, will you hear his voice? We need to listen to God and hear him today. Hebrews chapter 3, let's go there for a minute. And verse 15. Says, while it is said today, if you'll hear his voice. Is anybody seeing a pattern here? We need to serve God today. Today. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? The devil's really good at discouraging us from believing God, at causing us to look at what God's promise is, and instead of seeing the goodness of the land, we see the opposition, we see the giants, we see the problems, we see the things that cause us to fear and to doubt. And so therefore, because of all the fear and doubt, we don't believe God. How do you know you don't believe God? Well, if you don't obey him, and you don't do what he says, then you didn't believe him. And you're doing the same thing that they did here. They might have said, "Oh yeah, I believe what God says." You know what? They didn't believe God because they didn't obey him. That's how you know if you believe in God or not, is if you're heeding what he's saying to you. But it says, "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So really, it comes back to all of our sinful failures. Are really related to unbelief. You know, if you believe God, then you'll obey him. You'll go in. You'll go into the blessings. You'll go into the promise. You won't be discouraged or turned away by the opposition, by the difficulties, by the things that say, you can't take this land. You'll say, yes, we can, because God said we can. And you'll walk right on past those opposition, right on through those things, and God will give you the victory, and you'll go right in and be blessed. But But the key is, do you believe God? Will you hear God today? Will you enter in to the blessings that He has for you today? And tomorrow, when you get up, will you remember and will you enter into the opportunities that God has for you tomorrow? And the day after that, and the day after that, when you get up in the morning, will you say, you know what? God laid this thing on my heart for some time now. I'm going to get this thing taken care of. I'm going to hear His voice today. I'm going to do that which God has said. But all the blessings of God must be entered by faith. Each day is a new opportunity to hear God and by faith obey Him and enter His blessings. So we will end up as we begin. Will you hear God today? Will you enter the opportunity of His blessing today? Or will you through unbelief harden your heart and continue in a wilderness of disobedience until the end of your life? You know, that's just what that first generation did. It was a wilderness of disobedience. We don't believe God, and we don't want to obey God. And so they wandered around in this wilderness of disobedience. But when we listen to God, when we believe God, when we enter into the things He has for us, that's a life of blessing and victory that we can have. But will you hear God today? But I'm going to stop there and turn the services back over to Brother Larry.